Oh boy, hour number two. So we're mixing in a lot of stuff, but the Lions clearly the headline, and I have kept it simple because there's so much to talk about with that game. Give me your first impressions of your Detroit Lions, a team that I believe is winning the Super Bowl, but I went in with realistic expectations. Friday, I wasn't a hater. Are you going to paint Rico as a hater? Then you got to use the same brush for me. I said I wouldn't.
Mike, you're positive.
I wouldn't overlook the Rams, and I know what September football looks like, especially when you don't play your starters in the preseason, right? For years, Bill Belichick and the Patriots, the greatest dynasty the league has ever known, would look bad in September. Getting it all together, kind of getting things tightened up, yep, and ramping it up. You're in that same position. The fact you were able to win last night while playing far from your best football, that's a testament to Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell and the players on this team, that you are one of the anointed now. Like you, the Niners, Chiefs, Ravens, teams that in this league, if you don't bring your best, you don't win. You're one of the rare ones who can.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. The Eagles, except for the last games of last year where they just completely
fell. That's because Big
apart.
Dom wasn't on the sidelines.
Right.
You don't get it.
I don't
understand. Dom D'Alessandro, FTW. Dono. But by the way, and I know we're doing Lions, but what are we talking about with more Alex Orji? How about less? Either Orji plays and you build the offense around him like the Ravens built it around Lamar when he took over as a rookie, midstream, mm-hmm, Greg Roman.
Yeah.
Or I never see Orji ever again. Bringing him in on known rundowns only to run when everyone knows you're running isn't helping you. Sorry.
No, simplify the playbook. Get it done. Make it easy. If you got a full tech mobile, 8 plays, okay? But this we're going to run because these are your favorite plays. But you know when he comes into the game.
It's a run.
It's a run. It's like, you're not fooling anybody.
I can't believe, and I know.
They stuffed him in the backfield. Yeah, no kidding.
We'll get to it later or tomorrow or all week. How was this the quarterback competition? And pardon me, but I have seen so much nonsense. And this is what I mean about these feckless media shills that U of M has in their pocket. How about Nicole Arbeck? Oh, they couldn't get a quarterback in the portal. Their season was too long. Really? Didn't Jaden Rashada transfer like a month ago? Stop. You mismanaged your roster. Own it.
Oh, she wrote it. It must be true.
Stop. Like, here's your rule. Michigan bought and paid for media. They can't always be right. You got to leave a little space in there for F-ups.
Somehow I knew that was your reaction when I read that article on the plane. Like, you've got to be kidding
me. How about the column in the Det News? Oh, getting sexed up by a bovine was fine. It gives us a chance to learn from adversity. Huh? That can't be the headline. There is no positive from this.
Mm-mm. No.
Bevo had to wear a condom during the game. There's no positive.
And Bevo left and went to another party. Bevo got bored.
I mean, can you imagine? These are the same people who probably write the headline, Sloppy MSU Gets Lucky at Turtles. Like, just write it. Reality check. Michigan. Orbital rammed. A column. Back to the Lions. That's all. I'm sorry.
But, Wojo actually had an article like that where he actually said, hey, this may be reality.
And I credit Bob for that. But Bob wasn't a part of this segment.
I know.
I was citing other people.
Oh, I know.
Oh, we couldn't go to the portal. We were too good last year.
Really? Dante Moore chose to be a backup at Oregon.
Stop okay. Using facts.
Okay.
How dare you?
He's from here. I'd rather be a backup than come be the starter here.
248-539-9797. We will handle Michigan later. We're going to talk Michigan State at some point this week. But the Lions are the main stage. So let's do that. We're going to Rob in Brighton, the wellness check. I needed to hear from you. Rob, how are you?
guys, I saw a meme on Twitter, like, you know, when you have a birthday, your close family, a couple close friends, maybe a couple colleagues will send you a birthday text. You know, you'll get maybe 10 messages for your birthday. My phone had like 130 text messages on Saturday night when Notre Dame lost. And it was like, it's 5 for 22. In the last two games, we're 5 for 22 on third down. I mean, it's criminal. We were 2 for 12 against A&M and snuck out of there with a win. We were 3 for 10, I think, against Northern Illinois. I still can't wrap my head around it. It proved to me we're not a serious team. If you watch the game, did you guys watch the game?
Yes. How could I not? Once I saw the score was 7-6, I'm like, oh
six,
boy.
6 at half. Yeah. Guys, I mean, Marcus Freeman's face was deer in the headlights. Marcus Freeman against Texas A&M was a completely different person against Northern Illinois. And you're at home at your own crib. Like, I don't understand the mindset, and to not make adjustments, that's on the coaches, that's on the players. It was deer in the headlights the whole way, guys, and it just proves to me that I got to go buy some Middle Eastern for lunch. I hope you and your team there like Middle Eastern food, because we have that bet. I know you guys put it on the board.
No. Rob, we'll
be lucky to be 8-4.
No, I disagree. Listen, I, you know what we're going to do? We're going to split the difference. I had them as a 9-3 team. You had them as 11-1 or 12-0. They're probably a 10-2 football team.
11-1.
Yeah, they're probably a 10-2 team. And then there'll be a debate about can you let them in the playoff based on losing to NIU, et cetera.
Hey.
Oh, if they're 10-2, they got to make that. I mean, it's about money, guys. I mean, you know, should they make it? Hopefully they finish the season strong and they deserve to make it. If they're 10-2 and they're just beating Florida State or Southern Cal or Georgia Tech or, I mean, guys, watching that game, we're not beating any of those teams.
Rob, let me help you out here. Some positivity.
Oh.
You can't be 11-1 unless you lose a game. Here's your game.
Oh, Jesus. You know what? Jets, baby. Jets, no.
No. No, I'm saying maybe this is your wake-up call, your one game that you lose, and you just run the table.
Rico, that's a hell of a wake-up call, and I'm praying to the Lord, if there's one out there, that they get their stuff together, because guess where we're at this week? We're in West Lafayette at Purdue. I don't think we haven't played them for 5 or 6 years. For those that don't know, that is a huge rivalry.
Yeah.
And
I had to explain to Mike early pre-show. He was like, I don't understand the line. That's because every Purdue player believes they should have been at Notre Dame, so they're going to play extra hard.
Well, I'm rooting for you. I hate them.
What is the current line?
11.5.
Notre Dame's getting 11.5?
Yeah. No, you're giving 11.5. Come on.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. It's scary.
I'm alive, guys. Thank you. Thank you for the wellness check. My colleague Steve, he called me. Apparently, you were doing a wellness check. He said you better call Mike
because
he's doing a wellness check for you.
I said I was so nice to Notre Dame. I go, they grew up before my eyes. Incredibly impressed with what they did at A&M. Rob, I meant every word of it.
Rob,
and then they do that.
Rob, I think you shake this off. I still think you can hit your 11-1. Here's your one.
It's Rob is an important part of this show. Right. I wanted to make sure he was all right.
But in order to go 11-1, you got to lose one.
Let's go to Walter, 97-1. Walter, what's going on, buddy?
Hey.
Hi. What's up, Walt? Get near the phone. Here we go.
All right. I just had a couple of comments. One about the receiver situation.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold because you're either on the toilet dropping a grumpy or you're in another room on speaker, and that doesn't work. So, Kenny, get Walter in line. Let's get Walter near his phone. I'll go to Joey, 97.1. Joey, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, Rob, other Notre Dame fans, all Michigan fans out there, you know, thoughts and prayers. Can't imagine the college team not being undefeated, so go green. But more importantly, you know, want to go back to the Lions here. So, thought it was, you know, I think you guys have hit the nail on the head here. Thought it was a classic week one performance. Obviously happy to get the win. I think the Rams are super impressive, despite all their injuries. I think this could absolutely be a game that has playoff-seeking implications when it comes down to it. And then I want to talk about the defense. So echoing a lot of the points that DJ made with first call, I thought the front four actually had a pretty good push all night. You know, Hutch got to him once. I understand, you know, we want him more sacks, but he had the pressures. Thought Marcus Davenport had a really nice first game, and then we're getting to add Reader to all of this. But the biggest worry is the lack of defensive adjustments from Aaron Glenn again. You know, Stafford was unbelievable last night, getting the ball out as quick as he did.
Oh, yeah.
They kept dinking and dunking down the field. And I just feel like there should have been some adjustments made there that weren't. And meanwhile, the offensive staff for the Rams, obviously, you know, they were forced into it a bit with their injuries, but they just severely outcoached the defensive staff. So if there's a worry, that's where it is for me. And of course, you know, not reading too far into it with it being, you know, week one and the Super Bowl training.
No. Joey, look around the league. I mean, here, Cleveland is supposed to be a good team. Did you see that performance at 4 o'clock? The Bengals, I mean, that's a team that has Super Bowl ability. They were helpless against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. It's unpredictable. I think the fact that you came out, it was an uneven performance, but you won, and you did it with force and overtime. Joey, I take that every day of the week.
And I think Aaron Glenn was kind of trying to make sure that the Rams didn't get that big play over the top. So he was willing to give up, you know, the dinks and the dunks and then, you know, the five-yard catches for Coop because he didn't want Cooper Kupp to go all the way down the field and score a touchdown, you know, a 60-yarder where you're like, who forgot to cover him? So, yeah, let's just blanket this, make sure he keep everything in front of us. I think that was the game plan. It worked out for him. It was frustrating, Joey, but it worked.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one last point. I thought underrated play of the game was St. Brown knocking the ball down after he fell. I think it was in the fourth quarter in that final drive there. Just unbelievable.
I thought the receiver dropped it, and then the announcer was like, no, he actually – I was like, wow.
It was like a hand coming up from the grave to knock that ball down. Like shot through the turf, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Joey, and that's the league. That's the league. Whether it's a dropped pick, it's this one play. Look at the Stafford play. He's got Kupp open. That's a throw he's going to hit 7 or 8 out of 10 times. You had just enough pressure to make him throw it just off balance. Bro, that game's over.
Go back to the first game of the year when Likely's toe is on the line, or else it's a whole new ball game. Yes. Baltimore probably wins, but nope. Yep. You're right. That one play.
And that's the league. And people, it's the one PSA I offer you is it's not hating or negative to be concerned about games or think you're not walking over people. You don't have Arkansas State coming to town. You have the Tampa Bay Bucks. It's different. Your job is to win by whatever means necessary. They're very rarely like fashion games in the NFL. Right.
You're not going to get what the Cowboys did yesterday where you're putting up 30-3.
And when you do, pop a bottle.
Right. Because you know this was our one, guys. Or what the Dolphins did, putting up 70. That normally doesn't happen.
The job is to win. Yeah. And they did. And I think this team has an immense amount of room to grow.
They did.
Which is a positive.
And in overtime, they just said, we're going to lean on our strengths. Our O-line is better than your D-line. You got a bunch of rookies out there.
In essence, what we're about to do. They just told the Rams, game over.
Yeah.
97-1. Before we get back to the people, quick check on ticket texts. I know I have done a very bad job getting to those. So, David, go ahead. Rifle some of those out.
Run game and offensive line are still the strength of this team and very dominant. The secondary is still concerning to me, and it might be a scheme-related thing. I don't like Aaron Glenn. That seems to be a theme today.
Hold on. What's the theme? You're seeing a lot of that?
Kenny has told me he's gotten a lot of people calling, saying that about Aaron Glenn, and I've received a few of them, like this one is another one. First impression, J-Mo is going to be that dude, and when we can, actually start the question, Glenn, is he that good of a DC?
How about this?
I think Aaron Glenn is going to become that new polarizing figure. Where Goff was until they won playoff games, and then everybody loved him. But before that, either you loved Goff or you hated Goff. There was no in-between. That's where Glenn is right now. Either you think that, oh, he's got some dogs and he's going to take chances, but, you know, sometimes he's going to miss, or I want this guy out of town.
Or, hear me out, maybe your god of a GM isn't handing him great players. Ever think of that? See, I can play it both ways, guys.
Mike from the top rope.
I just think it's lazy to throw Aaron Glenn under a bus.
It is, but
he's got rookies and second-year guys in a lot of places. You have new faces, new places. Their big acquisition, besides Carlton Davis, didn't play last night. Mm-hmm. I'm not gutting this guy. At one point, you had two rookie corners out there against Matthew Stafford who was gutting you. Mm-hmm. Like, let it breathe. If the defense looks like this in mid-October, we will have a different conversation.
I'm with you, but he's the new polarizing figure. You're not going to say anything about Campbell. You're not going to say anything about Goff. He's that guy that when anything frustrating happens, well, it's the defense.
If they lost this game, you would have had Jim Costa and his army flooding the phone lines about Jared Goff. Yes, Kenny.
And even in a bad defensive performance, if you want to call it that, they still held the Rams to 20 points. That's not a terrible day at the office.
No, their issue,
a bad day.
Their issue was long, drawn-out drives. In that sense, it was similar to what the Bengals and the Patriots had to deal with. Here's the problem. That was the Patriots.
Yeah.
This is the Rams.
And the problem is you allowed the Rams to have a lead in the fourth quarter against a third-string offensive lineman was in the game.
And they should have lost the game, to your point earlier in the show. They had the ball at the one-yard line, the Rams, and they got a field goal.
Right. A bunch of penalties because offsides and this. And it's like the inexperienced line kicked in, and you saw it. The crowd stepped up, made things difficult. They panicked. You won the game. But the Aaron Glenn, man, he's the new poster boy. He's the new whipping boy for this team. If anything goes wrong, that's on him.
Here's the other thing. If Aaron Glenn is so bad and the Rams had 20 points, then why don't you blame Ben Johnson? You got a top five offense. All the weapons in the world. Why were you futzing around with 17 points?
Wait, what did you just say?
Futzing.
Okay. I was like, David, you may want to hit that.
No. That's way different than the other F word.
No, I was like, wait, whoa.
Oh, no, I got no. No, seriously, though. Like, we criticize Aaron Glenn. It's like, okay, so defense, bad, unhappy. Oh, I'm sorry. Was I supposed to be impressed with your offense pre-overtime? Because I wasn't.
But you're not allowed to criticize him because he stayed. He could have took a job elsewhere. He had unfinished business, and he's embraced.
Cool. The point I'm making is it's wrong to go after either guy. They got it done. It's week one. Everybody just breathe. Let's go to Walter, 97.1. Walt, you back in range?
Yep, I'm back in range.
There he is. Thank you, brother. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
First of all, well, since you made that comment, I agree with you totally. They need to get off of trying to point the finger because the defense did a good job when they had to, number one. But what I really called about, hello?
Yeah, listen to you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. What I really called about was the comment about the receivers. Don't get me wrong. J-Mo did a good job. He did an excellent job, and he's coming around. But I think that Amon-Ra is just as dangerous as he is. He's not as fast, but he's just as dangerous. And the reason why Amon-Ra didn't get a lot is because he was getting a lot of double teams. If they double team J-Mo, they're going to go to Amon-Ra or the tight end.
So you're saying, it may have been schematically there. Walt, I would say this. The thing that I liked most was at the end of the game, there's a lot of diva receivers out there. At no point did I see Amon-Ra upset, angry, pouting, because he knows we're trying to win. And there's going to be games where I'm going to have 8, 9, 10 catches. This was a game I wasn't. Maybe he was the decoy. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was. You know what? I'm going to keep everybody close so J-Mo can go deep. I just like the fact that he handled it with class, and he was the anti-diva receiver.
His comments after the game exemplified that. And actually, J-Mo Williams had very good comments about it. He said that they were double-teaming Amon-Ra a lot, so that left me open.
Look, that's the whole point is, Walter, we have talked about this for a long, long time, all right? You know who led the league in targets last year? Devontae Adams. Had 175 of them. What does it result in? Results in a mediocre football team. Great football teams, you're going to distribute the football on a week-to-week basis. The Niners have been the model for a while. The Chiefs have been a model for a while. It's not Kittle every week. It's not Debo every week. It's not Ayuk every week. It generally is CMC, but that's positional, meaning running backs get more touches. The point is, there's going to be weeks Laporta will step up. Mm-hmm. Amon-Ra will have a monster season, I promise.
Right.
Like, it's one game.
It's going to be the old Mike Shanahan where basically the Lions hate you because the guy you start in fantasy, he won't score. Everybody else will.
No, yes. Yeah, and that's what a great team is.
Right, exactly. So, I like the fact that Amon-Ra didn't go diva. Amon-Ra, yeah, we won the game. So he's that's about, all that matters.
He's about work.
It is.
That's why I love him. He's perfect for this town. He's perfect for this team. And if J-Mo's able to be that guy, like you and I thought, all right, year three, this is happening. Like it was a noise-free offseason. He's healthy.
It looks like he's taking the game serious.
I thought he died last night. I can't lie to you. When he got tackled, I went, we are not allowed to have nice things. I thought, oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah.
But so long as the cart didn't come out for him, okay.
Yes.
They showed him on the sideline, all good.
Real quick, obviously, Odyssey.com Rewind, you missed anything. We're talking a ton of Lions, your first impressions of the team that I think is going to win the Super Bowl. It's week one, guys. Go around the league and look around. Uneven performances, shocking losses. I mean, teams winning with, you know, I got to tell you, we got to fix this door. It is maddening. Anytime someone opens this door, it's like, does no one in this business know they're in radio? I got to tell you, I'm going to lose it.
The little bit of WD-40?
I'm going to lose it. The point I'm making is the Lions were able to not play their best, still win, and they did it. They finished the game in the quintessential like backbone of what this team is. The offensive line, the running game, brute force. Mm-hmm. If you've got that in your bag of tricks for late in games, winning time, the defense is going to take time. We warned you about this. You have a lot of young pieces, a lot of new pieces. No one played in the preseason. It's going to take time. So just breathe. But one thing I wanted to bring up, Rico, you heard Jeremy Otto's update. And obviously, we'll get to Michigan. But Michigan State, that was a credibility win for Jonathan Smith, meaning early in a tenure. Ain't nobody mistaking Michigan State for some kind of Big Ten contender. But in order to make a bowl or have a positive season, there were two swing games, Maryland and BC. You had to get one of them if you plan on making a bowl, right. Two of them if you want to have some real fun.
Right.
But what is it with the injuries this early where State is losing players for months, starting left guard, Pete Phillips or whatever his name is, out for the year. They just lost Chance Rucker for 2 months. They lost Dylan Tatum, West Bloomfield product, for the season.
We don't know what happened to Alonte Brown.
He's Alonte Brown.
Right. That's what happened. He just went out, and it was just like, and he's done.
Is it normal to have to lose five guys in two games for the season? Is that normal? Doesn't feel normal to me. Sorry.
No, and yet losing another one. So I don't know, because maybe it's how they practiced, you know, leading up to the season. I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. You get a lot of he's out for maybe a few weeks, but, yeah it's just like, and he's done.
But overall, here's the other thing. I saw what I needed to see in week two to at least have hope. See, I don't have hope on Sundays. Sundays, my hope is gone. We'll leave that alone. Aiden Childs is going to give you a lot of good, and there's going to be some bad. I'm accepting of it. He made his second career start. He made some throws I haven't seen a Spartan quarterback maybe since Jeff Smoker make. All jokes aside about the Grand Rapids courthouse. Smoker made some throws, and you're like, okay, that's not normal. I don't know a guy who's had an arm like that since him.
Right. But then the frustrating part comes where
I know
you're like,
it's the give back.
How did you miss the tight end who was wide open? Even the corner had conceded a touchdown.
It's the give back.
And he looks over like, whoa, are you throwing it to me? Thank you.
The point I will Merry make Christmas. To you is out. If I get outside of Miller Moss, the kid at USC, if I get outside of Dylan Gabriel, and if you want to put Drew Aller in there, I am fine. The point I'm making is, there's an ability that if Aiden Childs can smooth some of this out, it comes with reps.
It does.
Time.
It does.
Is there a chance he could enter as the fourth best QB in the conference? Because if you have that,
right,
it gives you the ability to be competitive. And look,
because right now I would say Raiola, the other freshman QB, is probably leading.
He's excellent. Right. No question.
So I would put him at number four.
Fine.
But Childs, you're right, Mike. It's just,
I needed that performance after week one. I needed to see that.
If you get Aiden Childs fourth quarter with 5 minutes to go, where you led your team on two drives down 10 points, I mean down 7 points to win the game, if that guy is consistent, yes.
And I think as time goes on, you'll eliminate some of these mistakes. It takes time.
Yeah.
Look, the difference, okay, difference between him and Davis Warren, you're getting a lot of great, you got great plays from Aiden on Saturday. Great play. That throw to Nick Marsh, the throw to Jerron Glover. Like, great plays.
Right.
There's nothing from Davis Warren. It's only bad. So understand, I'm not telling you my guy's perfect here. And in fact, a week ago, I wondered if it was Stevie Wonder and his keyboard.
A week? Yeah, well, during the game, I was still wondering that.
But overall, really nice road win for State under a new coach, new regime, 61 new players. They were down 10. Things didn't go right. And they rallied up and won a game. And that's fun.
They could have thrown in the towel and just said, well, we're done. If not, you know, he threw the... Mike, that the pass to Nick Marsh wasn't even the best play for me. The best play for me was he learned. Earlier in the game, third down, like third and eight, he runs to the sideline. And instead of picking up the first down, he tried to do the Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to stick the ball over the line. And the refs were like, no, that's not how it works in college. We're going to go where you stepped out. State had to punt from the 50. On that final drive, third and two, he just lowers his shoulder, picks up the first down. That tells me he's listening, he's learning. So you're right. You're not making the same mistake twice. And that's the thing. I'm okay with young quarterbacks. You're going to make mistakes. Just don't keep making the same mistakes. Now, hey, Aiden, stop turning the ball over in the red zone.
I know. Hey, ultimately, they're far from good. There's just, I think the win against Maryland gives hope. And this is a fan base that primarily in the last five seasons, outside of the K-9 miracle, has been hopeless.
Yeah, I just think that a lot of games are going to be very stressful like Saturday's was.
Yeah, hey, you want that. That means you're in a game.
You know what I want? I want to be like Kenny. I just want to sit there and watch a game.
52-3.
And decide what I'm going to be at halftime. What am I doing? Going to do next? What am I about to watch?
Well,
no, I know they're nowhere near Georgia, but you just want one of those games where...
Then enjoy Prairie View. 248-539-9797. Bottom line, the middle of the schedule is still very daunting, but here's the one thing I know. Take Ohio State and put them to the left. They're impressive. The other three teams in the middle, do you think more of them today or less of them today than you thought when the season started? Michigan, Iowa, Oregon. Not saying you're winning any, but do you believe you could be in one of those games in the fourth quarter, whereas 2 weeks ago you went no shot? That's all I'm selling you.
Hope. You know what, David? Sounds like we need a Big Ten power ranking. Not now.
Oh, thank God.
Not now.
I was not in the mood for that. At number 15, go to hell.
18 teams, Mike.
I don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
248-539-9797. Yes, we will get right back to the Lions. Yes, I will get to your phone calls. Your first impressions of the Lions against the Rams, your super, as I call them, your Super Bowl team. I walked away going, all right, exhale, lot to work on. But to beat a playoff team in the opener when a lot goes wrong and you played a lot of new faces... I'm good, man.
Yeah, I like the fact, too, if you're a Lions fan, you got a tiebreaker over the Rams because it's a team that will be around for the rest of the year.
And this is becoming a top three home field advantage in the sport.
Because what you're going to learn really fast, you're going to stop looking at just the North, and you're going to start looking at the top teams. You're going to start wondering, okay, what the Rams do, what the Niners do, what the Eagles do, what the Cowboys do, because that's our real competition. We know we're going to beat these other three patsies. What did they do this week?
248-539-9797. We will get your phone calls. We will get more ticket texts. We'll mix in some of the college football, but obviously the Lions are driving the bus on a Monday. 97.1. David, music, football, blitz, things.
So we can get this one out of the way and get to just football. So the Dolphins ended up winning 20-17, but the story of the day was before the game where Tyreek Hill was detained, pulled over, for speeding, handcuffed. He was just miles away from the stadium. Other players came, a couple of them came and saw him and tried to support him. They were also put in handcuffs. Well, the officer that was involved has been placed on administrative duties while the investigation is being conducted. Strange situation down there in Miami-Dade.
Look, I try to be careful with stuff like this, but the reality is I need to know what you did to end up face down in cuffs. This reminded me of the Scheffler thing where I saw this, and he's damn near the entrance of Hard Rock Stadium. Right. That, I'm not saying you treat him special, but how do we get Tyreek Hill in cuffs face down? Body cam's got to speak here. Otherwise, this looks real bad for the attending officers.
But here's the thing. You're an NFL player going to your home stadium. You do get preferential treatment. We're allowing you into the stadium. We're blocking this off just for you. So, yes, your body cam better back up. And Tyreek must have went off on you.
Gotta
and,
see it.
And your wife and everything. Because other than that, you want to act like mall cop? You're going to end up being a real mall cop.
It just it didn't add up to me on surface, but I have to reserve judgment, I guess.
On another note.
But easiest money to ever be made took Tyreek to score a touchdown.
Oh, that was.
and David, that was just like taking candy from a baby. And his celebration, hands behind his back as his teammate comes and carries him off.
I think I could have lived without that one. I didn't need that celebration for that touchdown.
I actually didn't.
I'm sure Cleveland Browns fans were waiting for an officer to not allow Deshaun Watson in the stadium, but he was allowed. He went 24-45.
Just stop right here.
Yes.
I'm going to say this. No hyperbole. No hot take. No radio idiocy. I'm being straight with you. It's time to go to Jameis Winston.
Woo!
They got to do what the Broncos did with Russell Wilson. They got to bite the bullet. They got to move on. That performance was so egregious. It was basically a worse version of Daniel Jones because this guy makes fully guaranteed money. He can't process. He's standing there thinking about what he wants to order at the Chinese food restaurant. Like, I'll take a C7 lunch combo. No, I'm kidding. Almond chicken instead. You can't play quarterback that way.
So Deshaun Watson. Yeah, he's baked. I was giving him.
Give me the number 4 with a large fry. I'm kidding. A number 6 with tater tots. So, I don't know. I'll take both.
Because right now, him and Bryce Young are in the same boat.
It's time
They're
to
the
go.
Spider-Man meme.
It's time to go to Jameis.
That's the problem when he's the veteran and Bryce is in year 2.
Right, because and you spent all of this money and the city of Cleveland is like, well, what are we getting? Am I supposed to be excited about this? You're right.
Did you see Deshaun Watson try to help up Joe Batonio and Batonio slap his hand away? Not going good, as Tony would say. Not going good.
Yeah. I do think that, you know what?
Tell me I'm nuts.
No.
You got to go to Jameis.
No.
Can't play this guy.
Wow. On the other side, before the kickoff, it was announced that Dak Prescott received a 4-year, $240 million extension, $60 million per year. Will they regret this?
I mean, yes.
The Cowboys.
But not yesterday.
Not yesterday, yes.
David, they're the Cowboys. When they don't do dumb things, that's news. That was just a day ending, and why? I mean, because you still don't have a coach. You're buying into him. You're paying him $60 million a year because of all the Super Bowls that he's won you and the NFC titles and all of that, right? Wrong. You're paying him. I don't know why. I guess because you're Dallas and you just can't ever be bad.
You're paying Jared Goff. If you have a quarterback, you pay them. Look at what Kirk Cousins just got. You have to pay him, Mike.
I guess what I'm thinking is you're probably about to get a brand new coach. Maybe give the brand new coach a new quarterback and you hit the reset button.
Possibly.
Hey, Jerry Jones ain't ever letting that happen.
Dak Prescott. Well, David, hold on. Not to hijack your thing. But when Belichick comes out and says, I'm not done yet, for the right situation, I can come back.
He'll be the Giants coach next year. Don't worry.
I'm just saying.
I got it all under control.
If you allow him, hey, go get your quarterback and rebuild, and we're the Cowboys, man, you can go get Shador Sanders and start all over again.
He's my quarterback. Please, I have everything under control. David,
go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about the Chicago Bears for a second. Specifically, Caleb Williams, 14 of 29, 93 yards. They won a game because of a block punt return and a pick six.
Yeah.
That offense.
It was bad. What did I say on Friday? Number one overall picks in their debut are like 4-24-1 in their first game. It's hard to do. Mm-hmm. Like the idea that Caleb was going to walk in the league and be Joe Montana, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what you saw was all the little cutesy stuff he did against the vanilla defenses in preseason. yeah, son, it's the real thing. And no, that's not going to work. That little scrambling ability, hi.
You're not Jaden Daniels. Daniels is a different athletic class. That Rico's right. He got run down a couple of times. He goes, whoa, this ain't Arizona State. No, it is not.
You're exactly right. I'm not going against Oregon State anymore. Wow. Wait,
but this worked in the preseason. Yeah, they're all working at Home Depot right now.
Yeah, that dude's currently running the tile aisle.
Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals for a quick minute here because they looked bad. Here's what happened with them. They didn't score on their first five possessions, punting three times, fumbling, and then having a turnover on downs before they finally scored a point. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase still dealing with the contract situation. Higgins didn't play because of an injury. You worried? It's just week one.
No.
But
no, but I'm this is my communication to Lions fans. This is what week one can look like. You got a win. You protected home field. Mm-hmm. You beat a playoff team. The Bengals just lost to a team that's going to have a top five pick. That's how they started their season.
And you have to wonder with all the different, like, that's distraction to me of everything that's going on with the Bengals. Maybe they just weren't focused and thought, okay, it's the Patriots. We got this until you didn't. And then the Patriots were like, wait, I think we could actually win a game. We may not get many, but we can get this one. And they
What if it's like Jacksonville a couple of years ago? This is the only one they win.
Oh, my Lord.
You win week one and that's it.
Mike, it could be. But, yeah, if you're Cincinnati, you are not happy because when you do the scheduling game, everybody had that one as a W.
41% of ESPN Eliminator bets for the Survivor Pool, Bengals.
And then let's close it out with this because we waited a while for this to happen on TV. We got his debut for the Browns and the Cowboys game. Your thoughts on Tom Brady?
He's trash. He has no training. He has no idea what he's doing. You handed him $350 million. He can't form sentences. His cadence is off. There are long pauses, and he's nothing more than a cliche machine. Oh, also, his voice is atrocious. There. Anything else?
Anything else, sir?
I'm going to leave it to Mike because I was doing the Lions pregame show right here on 97.1, so make sure you're listening.
Yeah, please listen. It's free.
It's free.
He was terrible. But again, I don't – it just is what it is. Like, he has no training. You're doing a job that's very difficult. And he had no excitement, very monotone. Hey, I didn't write the check. It's not my job on the line. Go ahead.
He sounded ill-prepared. He didn't sound like he was ready for the spot.
Oh, you mean when he tells you that, hey, Deshaun Watson's going to try to score a lot of points today. That's not nuanced?
There was isms in there that he said that I was like, yeah, no bleep, Tom. Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, I mean, I see Scott Hansen had to walk back some comments that he said. He tweeted out, Tom Brady's got to get more excited in the booth.
No, and he didn't have to walk it back. He's just acting like a bitch. You said what everyone's thinking, Scott.
And then he came back. That was unfair and inconsiderate by me. Yes, I was saying it tongue-in-cheek, but I didn't calculate how this would come across to many. Tom Brady, I apologize. I promise I'm rooting for you on this new venture.
Somebody in the NFL got to him.
How soft? He said what everyone was thinking. Tom, have an avocado. Wake up.
Did he have his coffee this morning?
Christ, you have to apologize for that? Guy got paid $350 million. I could go grab a fan at the Lions game with an engine block on their head. They would have given me more. Tom, I paid you $350 million to put out. Put out!
From Greg Olsen, I would simply just tweet out a picture of smiling
now. Hey, justice for Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
That guy lost his job. For what?
Because he wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Please.
That's the only reason why.
Here's a positive. Tom Brady has beautiful skin. There's your positive. He's a beautiful man. He sucks as a commentator.
Well, and that is.
Wait till you see the exchange he had with Pereira. Go dial that one up. I'm sure that's somewhere in the interwebs.
Let's look it up.
And that is in football today.